Happy Saturday, folks. Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have you noticed that the tempo of nonsense, the tempo of unbelievable nonsense, just kind of keeps increasing? I'm sure you have noticed it. You know, I forewarned this a year ago. In fact, I forewarned it back when Barry was reelected. I told you at that time, you can go back to the archives and listen. About 2 years out from his last 2 years in the presidency, he's going to pull out all the stops in his fundamental transformation nonsense because he has nothing to lose. We have a gutless Congress. We have a a Justice Department that is, a travesty. And we have an out-of-control government completely peopled and staffed by him, with hand-picked fellow progressives who are all about subverting individual rights and freedoms to government power and control for their own nefarious ends in many ways, I might add. And you know, that tempo is increasing, absolutely positively. I mean, the bad and unbelievable news rolls in ever larger doses, in ever more frightening ways, in an ever-increasing tempo, rat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. And I notice it because, you know, when I put these shows together every week, I want to choose topics which have current relevance, current interest, and topics that you're not getting the full story, in some cases no story, from the rest of the media. I mean, that's my job, to tell you the rest of the story, to coin Paul Harvey's phrase. So I'm putting the show together this week and looking at, literally, I could have chosen 50 topics, from immigration to economy to Europe to Greece to China to the dollar to, you know, Russia and the Ukraine, the uproar in Africa over many different things, including Boko Haram running amok over there, which nobody's talking about. There's the occasional article. You know, they're butchering hundreds of people a week, many of them children, many of them women. You know, Obama's upcoming visit to Kenya, where the Kenyans have said, don't you dare bring up gay rights, gay marriage, or abortion. They told him that up front. Don't even bring it up, Barry, when you come visit your homeland. We could have gone into, you know, more tax nonsense at the IRS. The lowest learner, exploding cacophony of criminal wrongdoing by her and her cohorts at the Justice Department, the Treasury Department, and the White House, which is being given almost no play by the media. I mean, a huge story. A huge story. You know what? And I don't think I'm going overboard now, because it's the same concept. When Hitler singled out the Jews, and this is years before they were shipped off to concentration camps, he basically stripped them of their power, investigated them, took their property, took their rights, didn't allow them to do this, that, and the other, you name it. Had to wear a yellow star David on their sleeve. Tell me what's different about the IRS targeting conservatives, ruining people's lives, sending in their cohort agencies, the EPA, OSHA, you name it, to terrorize these businesses, these small businesses, and cost them money. You know, pounding on the door of conservative leaders, Tea Party leaders, at 3 o'clock in the morning and doing raids on their houses. Is there really that much difference? Conservative or Jew, or ironically, Black years ago. I mean, there's no difference. When a government is out of control and subjecting its people, particularly a class of people, or a group of people who have a certain thought process, and subjecting them to its heel, its boot, it's the same. Anyway, I digress. I mean, that's just an example. Just another example of all the things I could have talked about today. But I chose three things, and those three things are, number one, this Iranian deal, which I've been jumping up and down and screaming about for a long time. And now the quote-unquote deal is done. And, you know, unfortunately, so were several American cities before we wake up. Very unfortunately. Unless, of course, Israel steps up to the plate and does what has to be done. Because Obama and Iranian-born Valerie Jarrett certainly aren't going to. I mean, they really got everything they wanted. Took America down a peg, pushed Iran up a peg, supported their Muslim buddies. Yeah, it's a win-win for Barry, for sure. But let me tell you a little bit about the Iranian deal that you're not really hearing. You've probably heard, at least in dribs and drabs, what it encompasses. But at the last moment, the Iranians threw in, first of all, conventional arms. They wanted the embargo on conventional arms lifted. And they wanted, additionally, no ban, no control, and no oversight over their ballistic missile program. Now, you know, you and I can kind of figure out, because we have some common sense, and we're on the side of America, unlike the people who were, quote-unquote, negotiating for us. We can understand that a country who says they just want nuclear power for domestic purposes, who stamps its foot and says no, no, no when you talk about controlling their ballistic missiles that could deliver nuclear power for any other nefarious, warlike, and devastating purpose, probably is developing the nuclear power for that devastating purpose. What do you think? Now, I think we all know that Barry is not stupid. Neither is Kerry. They're, of course, both traitors. You'll see an article, by the way. There was another article that came out. This is now the second in 2 weeks. I have never seen any before. That flat down call, Barry, Kerry, and the rest of the crew, traitors. So I guess the choir, the chorus, is growing. And I believe I was the first one to bring that thought up. And it was a long time ago. Look, the Iranian deal is bad for America in a whole bunch of ways that's not being discussed. Of course it's bad for America that our enemy, and trust me, they are our enemy. I don't know if you realize this, but you know, I think you agree with me when I say, and you hear hither, yither, and yon, that we're at war with radical Islam. And we are. Never mind that Barry can't say the words. We're at war with radical Islam. Move your head one step further. We're at war with Iran. Absolutely, positively, no doubt about it. Israel knows they're at war with Iran. The other Arab states know they're at war with Iran, but Iran's number one enemy, America, called incessantly and repeatedly the Great Satan by the Ayatollah. We pretend that we're negotiating a deal. We're having a debate. We're having a little tea party to discuss, you know, what color badminton rackets we're going to use today out there on the greens. What color shorts should I use for the badminton game? Look, Iran will stop at nothing to destroy Israel and the United States. Iran knows that they are at war with the United States. They get it. And they're good at it. Sun Tzu, The Art of War, would be very proud of these people pretending to be friendly and being devious, appearing reasonable and pushing their aggression 120% at the same time. I mean, it is the art of war. And we think we're at a tea party. I'm quoting now Kerry and Obama. We're hopeful that they're going to do X, Y, and Z. We're hopeful. Well, you know, I'm hopeful that an Iranian nuclear device, whether delivered by Iran or delivered by a surrogate or delivered by a terrorist that Iran sold it to, does not wind up within the borders of the United States in the middle of a big city. But I'm not, you know, I'm hopeful it doesn't happen, but I'm not hopeful that it's not going to happen. And this war with Iran started 36 years ago. When, if you remember, the Ayatollah who had just, when I say just, I mean days before, come to power, seized the American embassy and 52 hostages, which he held for 444 days. While a completely spineless Jimmy Carter hemmed, hawed, and hee-hawed and could get nothing done. They wouldn't take his bribes, which he offered. They laughed at his threats of military power because they knew that he was a sop that would never use it and didn't have a military that could really deliver it, as was proven, by the way, by the failed rescue mission during that time period. You know, starting with that opening salvo, which began our war with Iran, and by the way, also kind of marked the beginning of our war with radical Islam, because Iran and radical Islam are synonymous. They are symbiotic. They are joined at the hip. They are from the same cell. They are from the same hideous womb. So, since we're at war with Iran, how do you think we're doing in that war? Let me tell you how we're doing. Now, some people say, you know, you listen to the talking heads and the congressional hearings and these politically correct sops in the government and these, I don't know what they are, they've managed to install at the Pentagon. You know, I got all the respect in the world for 99% of the military, but the people that got out there talking are as bad as the liars in the State Department and the liars in the White House. They've obviously been handpicked by the State Department and the White House. Shame on you, DOD. Shame on you. So the bottom line of all this is the pundits will say, well, we're not winning. Well, Iran has done this. Well, this is a strategic advantage. Let me just boil away all the crap for you folks, because that's what I do for my listeners. We're losing. Okay? We're losing the war to Iran. Just like we're losing the war to ISIS, and just like we're losing the war with radical Islam. This is not, we're not winning. We're losing. And we are being guided toward that loss by traitors. And we are not being protected from those traitors by weak-minded sops in Congress and elsewhere. And a lawless, in some cases, judiciary, and in most cases, Justice Department. It's a really scary thing. It's particularly frightening because these people are such a tiny percentage of the overall population of America. Have you seen all the recent polls? 80% of the people don't trust Iran. 77% of the people don't want this deal with Iran. 71% think it's going to end badly, like, you know, disastrously for the United States. Even the people of the world, if you, the surveys that have been done over in all the Arab countries and Israel, other than, of course, Iran, where the Ayatollah would take all the surveys himself, is like 98% against this deal, distrust of Iran, disastrous ending, etc. Does Obama care? This was the guy who was going to be the president of, and I quote, all the people. There's no red states. There's no blue states. It's just the United States. Oh, my heart goes pitter-patter. What a great liar he is. He and the Iranians, they're both great liars. Maybe that's why they get along so well. So let me tell you how we're losing this war. Remember, we're not winning. We're losing. I think it's pretty apparent how we're losing with ISIS. Their territory continues to grow. Their numbers continue to grow. Their recruitment continues to grow. Their military successes, with very few exceptions, continues to grow. Their terror events are growing exponentially as to the number of locations around the world, and growing exponentially in terms of how often and how many. Those poor four Marines, and our president still can't say Islamic terrorists, radical Islam. He stands up there, you know, you want to reach through the TV and slap him. He stands up there and goes, well, we have to investigate the circumstances. We have to get all the facts. You mean like you did in Ferguson? Like you did with Trayvon Martin? If I had a son, he'd be like Trayvon. Like you did in all those deals, Baltimore, etc. Huh? Is that what you mean, Barry? You have to get all the facts. You got a guy whose Facebook is full of radical Islam, who visited Yemen, who visited Jordan just a year ago, who was obviously supplied an AK-47, the same guns that have been used in all the ISIS-inspired attacks by ISIS in some way, shape, or form that we haven't figured out, who yells Allah Akbar. Huh? This is like workplace violence, like Major Hassan. And these poor guys who are warriors don't have a means to defend themselves because of your policies. Wow. Yes, you are. You are a traitor. And unfortunately, that's not the most traitorous thing you've done. The most traitorous thing you've done, of many, many things, is this deal with Iran, Mr. President, and Mr. Kerry, and Miss Jarrett, and now Miss Hillary, who's supporting the deal. We talked about this a few shows ago. In addition to the ballistic missile, like nothing on the ballistic missiles. Oh, gee, you can't build a ballistic missile that can go to the moon for 5 years. Ha, we have you under control. We have no snap decisions. We have no snap decisions. In other words, hello, we just arrived at the Tehran airport and we want to inspect facility XYZ. Nope, they're gone. 24-day notice. And folks, what exactly are we going to do when Iran, on the 24th day, because time is their ally, says, you know, gee, our bus broke down. You can't see the facility. Huh? What are we going to do? We're going to go to the Security Council of the United Nations? Really? And Russia and China are going to back our play, huh? You know, look, this deal is so bad on so many levels, in so many ways. Oh, man. Let me give you an example here. This is like a triple victory over the United States. Number one, there's an agreement that will legitimize Iran as a dominant regional power. Now, that means if, you know, when somebody ascends in power, somebody else has to descend in power. And everybody who's descending in power is our ally. Some of them questionable, but nonetheless allies. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the Emirates, Jordan, Egypt. Egypt is a very good ally, or was, prior to Barry. And Israel, another case of a great ally that was prior to Barry. So that's number one in their triple victory over the United States in this huge battle in its war with the United States. Number two, it will substantially expand the amount of money that Iran has to support terrorism and other military efforts. And number three, as we all know, it smooths its efforts to a nuclear bomb. This is the biggest victory yet by the Iranians in their war against the United States, folks. By far the biggest victory. By far the biggest victory. There was a tweet that Ayatollah sent out. By the way, did you know that this week, while Kerry was sipping champagne, I don't know if you saw those pictures, having champagne, toasting this wonderful deal, peace in our time, we're hopeful that we can trust them. Oh, yes. Would you refill my glass, please? Yeah, the flag was being burned. There were hundreds of thousands of people in the streets of Tehran celebrating the agreement and shouting death to America, death to Israel. And the Ayatollah himself, at IR Khomeini, if you'd like to look up his tweets, he tweeted, "When you consider an entity as Satan, then it's clear how you should behave." I'm sure glad Kerry and Obama and Valerie, baby, and the rest of them are hopeful. Of course, I think they're lying to a scene about that. I think they know exactly what they've done here as part of the design. Look, let me give you an example of what Iran has done in its continuing war against the United States. It started 36 years ago at the embassy. For three decades, the regime has funded, supplied, trained terrorists all over the world, including Boko Haram in Africa, by the way, who's running amok and you don't hear about it. Iran has waged a proxy war against the United States using Hezbollah, who, by the way, blew up the U.S. embassy in Beirut. That killed 63 Americans. Later bombed the Marine barracks in Beirut, killing 220 Marines and 21 other U.S. personnel and 58 French troops with no retribution. Zero. They captured the CIA station chief, tortured him for months, released a video of him after the torture, and then killed him. Nothing happened. Iran has consistently, I mean, like all the time, supplied both Hezbollah and Hamas in their fight against Israel. And that includes, by the way, the missiles that they send into Israel against Israeli civilians. Iran has sheltered, actively sheltered, Al-Qaeda, top Al-Qaeda members from Americans who were hunting them. Iran has provided bombs and other weapons that were used to IEDs that were used to kill Americans in both Iraq and Afghanistan. The estimates vary, but they, you know, thousands of our boys killed or maimed by Iranian weaponry and Iranian training of the terrorists, the militants, the rep, whatever you want to call them, the guys on the other side who were using them. Iran has supported Bashar Assad in Syria. You know, this is the guy who gasses his own people. This is the guy who gasses his own people after Obama drew and then withdrew his red line in the sand. Iran supports the Houthis in Yemen. You know, Yemen. That Yemen and Somalia, the two shiny examples of our anti-terrorism effort, according to Barry himself. Oh, man. Unbelievable. I mean, you gotta, I don't mean to make light of this. I'm not making light of it. It's just, it's disastrous. And therefore, the best thing you can do is at least chuckle. You know, when disaster strikes, a chuckle at least helps soothe the nerves. You know, Korea is a good example of what's going on with Iran. It's not quite the same in the way it evolved, but all the threats and all the sanctions and all the nonsense didn't do squat. North Korea has a bunch of nukes, and they have ballistic missiles that can deliver the nukes, and they're sharing ballistic missile technology with Iran. Have you ever thought what would happen if Iran and North Korea, just the two of them, puny, nasty countries that they are, teamed up against us? How about if the two of them teamed up with one of the other major powers, like Russia, who's flying Tupolev bombers off 39 miles off our coast about every other day, or China? What if all four of them got together and did their deal all at once? Let's say one of them took care of a massive, concerted cyber attack. Let's say one of them, like Russia, who's been making practice bombing runs with fully loaded Tupolev bombers, did the EMP thing. Let's say one of the others shut down all the oil pipelines, you know, sunk ships in the Straits of Hormuz, whatever, you know, whatever strategic stuff they could do, attacked Israel, etc. What if that all happened in one day? With Barry at the helm, our commander-in-chief. That would be an ugly day, would it not? So, you now have Iran, who, mark my words, folks, like the first set of inspections that come, or at least by the second, they're just going to say no. We're not going to do anything. We're going to fiddle fart around at the Security Council. Those sanctions that Barry promises would snap back right into place, they're not going to snap back right into place ever. They're done. And he's going to circumvent Congress, you mark my words, by going to the UN Security Council and getting those sanctions lifted. And Congress will do nothing. Zero. Nada. Even if they muster the cojones to put together 67 votes in the Senate to override his veto of the bill that might come out of the Congress saying we're not approving the Iran deal, he's just going to say, well, you know, it's okay. I did the deal with the Security Council and you can't say anything. They can, but he'll tell them they can't and they'll agree with it because that'll be their cover. I'm not big on Congress right now, have you noticed? Except for some people. Cruz, Cotton, Rand Paul in some cases, Rubio in some cases. I mean, it's a pretty small group. And Iran's going to have $150 billion, that's billion dollars, to play with over the next year that they haven't had. Do you know how much mischief they can do with that kind of money? This is I'm not too far off, like 149 times more than they've been able to spend on their bad stuff every year for the last 30 years. All at once. You know what it really does? It makes America and Barack Obama a state sponsor of terrorism. I mean, if you really want to follow the money that we're releasing to Iran is going to be used for terrorism against our own troops. And as you can tell, Mr. Obama really doesn't care about our own troops. Benghazi, the four Marines that died the other day, poor guys. You know, heartbreaking, heartbreaking. He really doesn't care. He doesn't care what the American public thinks. He doesn't care about the security and safety of the American public. He doesn't care about the sanctity of American values or power or borders. Yeah, it's almost unbelievable until you remember what he is, who he is, where he came from, and what his mindset is. And the other thing that's going to happen with this Iranian deal, I've talked for half an hour on this, I didn't mean to, but it's just huge. I really can't emphasize for you folks how big a disaster this is. It is a huge, huge, huge disaster. On the website, up by the story, I have several petitions you can sign that will be sent to Congress to try and stop this deal. Please, read them and sign them. Please. Contact your congresspeople, contact your senators, contact the congresspeople and senators in neighboring states, call your friends and neighbors in other places. I can't tell you how important it is that this deal be stopped. I mean, your life, this is not, I'm not going overboard here. Your life could depend on it, particularly if you were anywhere near a metropolitan area, which will be the targets. Not tomorrow, probably not next year, but they will be the targets. The stage is set. The domino has fallen. It's clicking on the other dominoes as I talk. So the bottom line, and by the way, when these sanctions are lifted and Russia starts doing business, including selling anti-aircraft, very sophisticated anti-aircraft missiles, and China starts doing business and selling arms because of the arms embargo being lifted, and other countries and companies start doing business because there's no ban on the ballistic missiles and so on and so forth. You have a very fertile market in Iran, right? You have 50 some odd million people, tiny country, really. I mean, never in history. I'm digressing, I know, but things keep coming up in my mind, and I can't tell you how bad this deal is. Probably never in history has such a tiny country that is so inferior in all sorts of ways, that has a fraction of the military power, defeated a much larger, purportedly more capable adversary, i.e. the United States, in such a decisive manner without firing a shot. Never in history. The thing that comes closest is Nazi Germany getting Czechoslovakia as a payoff so they wouldn't go to war by Neville Chamberlain back in 1938-39. Actually, it was 37-38. Germany invaded Poland in 1939. What deal? Sorry, we want Poland. We know you guys are soft wussies, and you're not going to do anything. So, tough nookies, here we come. Panzer tanks, gas them up, roll them out. Head them up, rawhide. Iran is the same thing, but it's worse because this is nuclear weapons. And it's worse for a whole lot of other reasons, too. I'm not going to spend more time on this topic. Please read those petitions, sign them, get in touch with your congresspeople, get other people riled up. This is a really, 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 really bad and dangerous deal that might cost you your life or the life of a loved one in some city across the United States within the next decade, if not sooner, amongst other terrible results. Obama misunderstands. I don't think he does misunderstand it, but he pretends to. So Obama pretends to misunderstand the current reality. You know, he argues that the only choices, and by the way, a total lie, was a bad agreement or a war. Well, now the outcome is certain. Only a war is going to solve it. So thank you, Barry. But here's what he was mistaken at. We're already at war with these guys. We're already at war with Iran, and we're losing.